Hawkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back for another edition of Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Forum Studios, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm Jordan Buscarini, and I'm joined in the studio today by Travis Anderson as we get set to wrap up the week. But plenty of great sports talk to get into today. One topic in particular I want to make sure we dive into. You know, what debuts Sunday night on ESPN, the documentary The Last Dance. It's a 10-part documentary on Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Phil Jackson, the Bulls as they win the NBA championship in 1998, topping the Utah Jazz. Are you excited for this?
Not really, but there's certain aspects I am. The Kobe Bryant part, I'll probably get into it, but right now I don't really have much interest in the Bulls. I don't.
I am excited about it. I'm interested because at the end of the day, and I know you're not a Michael Jordan guy.
Can't stand him.
Okay. But you can't deny that Michael Jordan is the most marketable athlete we have ever had in this country.
Absolutely.
There's no question. He's the most marketable athlete of all time. Okay? You can't deny that Michael is one of the greatest basketball players to ever live. And you and I agree. I don't put Michael Jordan at the top of my list as the greatest basketball player to ever live. Now, if you tell me he's the greatest of all time,
fine.
It's a fair argument. But to look at me cross-eyed because I'm telling you I don't believe he is, that's where we're at in the world today. And that's why I think this documentary is going to be highly entertaining. There is a mythology about Michael Jordan out there, and I think some of this is going to spread some light on MJ the person. Now, I don't care anything really about that because what we saw on the floor was one of the greatest, most fierce competitors ever, right? And I respect the hell out of that. So I am looking forward to it. We're going to talk about The Last Dance a little bit later on in the show. Some aspects that I am looking forward to and some of the aspects I think you should pay attention to in this documentary. It's not all about Michael Jordan. There was a lot of interesting storylines floating around the Chicago Bulls team, not only in that final season, but really throughout the entire decade of the 90s. So we'll dive into that a little bit later on in the show. Also, we're going to talk college athletics. We're going to bring on a great friend of mine, Casey Smurthwaite. He's going to join us here in just a few moments, actually, on Drive Time Sports. Casey was a regular guest here on Drive Time Sports when he was at USU Eastern. Since then, he's made the rounds. He went to Utah State. Now he's an associate athletic director at Southern Utah University, my alma mater. He's going to be able to give us some insight on what the landscape looks like right now in college sports. Yesterday, we briefly talked about this. Jalen Green deciding that he was going to forego his college career and become a participant in the Career Pathway G League stance, meaning that he could make up to, I think it was $500,000 is what he could make. So he's going to forego his college career because there is such uncertainty. I'm surprised it's taken this long. And we talked about the XFL earlier on in the week. With the questions surrounding fall semester, I believe this would have been a viable option for football players had the XFL maintained. If we knew there was going to be an XFL season, I believe this would have been an option for kids either currently in college or thinking about going to college out of high school, because we had Oliver Luck on this show and he had mentioned multiple times that if they deemed a kid mentally and physically ready to play professional football, they would extend him a contract to play in the XFL. You don't have that option in football, but you know what? We have that option in the NBA, and Jalen Green, who is projected to be the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft, is going to go that route.
I'm going to take that route, which is fine. College basketball will be okay. But I think Cade Cunningham is probably the best player. I know that Green is probably going to go one, but yeah, this is the route. Instead of, you know, going overseas, like we've seen what Brandon Jennings took that route, he's going to go to the G League route. But I mean, college basketball should have let these guys market themselves and get a little bit of, you know, that kind of money route if they didn't want this problem. So the NBA is basically coming in and saying, you know, giving the NCAA the middle finger.
I don't know if that has anything to do with this. I really don't.
But Zion made millions and millions of dollars as 1 year at Duke just by off, you know, all the marketability that he was at Duke.
Well, Zion was unique.
Yeah.
Zion was unique, and going to Duke helped Zion's brand. If you don't believe that Zion profited anything from a year spent at Duke,
you're crazy.
You're insane, because he did. He absolutely did. Right? And so kids are allowed to build their brand when they're in college. You may not be able to profit from it while you're in college.
But you build that brand, like you said.
But you can build that brand. Look, we're going to talk about Michael Jordan a little bit later on in the show. How often do you see Michael Jordan UNC jerseys? How often do you see Air Jordans the color of UNC, right? You can build a brand when you're at college, and colleges can help you with that brand. If you believe that Zion Williamson would have had the popularity coming out of college that he had he gone to LaSalle compared to Duke,
not going to happen.
You're wrong. I'm sorry. Let's just be real here. Okay, Duke was on national TV every night of the week.
Yeah, and that's how you build that brand. The G League route, I mean,
that's fine.
That's fine, but he's not going to have the same, you know, visible appearance, that marketability, if he would have went to college for the 1 year.
But I do believe everything that's happening right now with this pandemic and COVID-19 is changing the landscape of college athletics, and the NBA has provided an option for players, and because of that, it's going to change. Look, Jalen Green's just the beginning. Once you have a pioneer, or once someone kind of blazes that trail, it then becomes acceptable for others to go down that route, and I think we're at that point right now. So we will have that conversation coming up next segment here on Drive Time Sports. And here's another thing. I know that we're sad right now that spring sports have been canceled. What about the fall sports season? We had Coach Bianco of the Carbon Dinos, athletic director at Carbon High, on the show earlier this week, and he said he didn't believe that fall sports were out of the woods yet. I'm paraphrasing, of course. You can listen to that full interview at castlecountryradio.com. But again, I don't know that we're guaranteed to have college football this year. Really, I don't think it's a guarantee. We didn't have spring practices at all, so already we're playing from behind. And I think this is also going to be big in regards to high school football as well. So I think that'll be a fun conversation. That's what we have planned on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. Let's take a look at some of the other news around the national sports scene. This came out last night that Broncos standout defensive player Von Miller was positive with COVID-19 as well. He marks the second NFL football player to contract the coronavirus. The first was Rams center Brian Allen. So now two in the NFL. Von Miller had a message: if I can get the virus, anyone can get the virus. And that was some of the big news coming out of the NFL last night. And again, it's been very slow because there's nothing going on, and we are a week away from the NFL draft, which you will be able to listen to right here on KOAL. So let's break for just a moment. Again, a fun show coming up. We're going to have a college athletics talk in just a moment. We'll also talk about Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls, and the Last Dance documentary, which will air Sunday night on ESPN. That's all coming up on this edition of Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. As far as the local sports scene goes, a little bit quiet right now. I know we had the announcement earlier this week, no spring sports, no spring championships. And so we're well-versed on what's happening at this level, the high school, the middle school level. Let's move on and talk about the next level up, the college level. Joining us right now, a longtime friend who used to join us quite frequently here on Drive Time Sports, Casey Smirthwaite, who is now the Senior Associate Athletic Director at Southern Utah University in Cedar City. And Casey, it's been far too long since we've had you on the show. I appreciate you joining us today, though.
Jordan, it is a pleasure. Love to be on Drive Time Sports.
It's been a long time, but I'll tell you, a lot's happened, I know, in your world since that point. We could talk about your career path and some of the things that you've accomplished in that time frame. But, boy, what a time to be a senior associate athletic director, I'm assuming.
You know, it is absolutely crazy. But every day I wake up ready to attack it. You don't know what you don't know. And right now there's a lot of people, whether it's my industry, whether, you know, the car automotive industry, you know, educational industry, it's different for everybody. And we're all kind of learning on the fly and trying to do what's best for not only our industry, but for our families and for our neighbors.
As far as the athletic scene is concerned, obviously we know that there's no spring sports, right? We didn't have a finale to March Madness. Everybody knows everything as far as that realm is concerned. But now as we start gearing up for the summer months, what has it been like and what are the conversations that you have been a part of across the board, across the country, if we talk about college athletics, D1, D2, all the way down to D3?
It is all over the map. I've had conversations with folks on national calls, on regional calls. Next week, I'm looking forward to having a call with just the state of Utah development and revenue generation and external affairs folks. But I've heard everything from, you know, all systems to go, we're planning, ready to roll August 1st, to maybe we ought to consider redshirting the whole year in collegiate athletics. I know there's a small movement from some schools saying, right now we got to put everything on hold. Let's take a redshirt year for everything.
Now, let me back that particular aspect up to the high school level here once again, and it's something that I don't believe is being talked about enough. So say you were to redshirt the entire 2020-21 athletic season, if that is the case, or maybe it's just fall sports. I mean, whatever be the case, we have redshirts in 2020 in some regard. How does that affect the graduating high school class and student athletes of 2020, 2021, and 2022 moving forward?
It's a huge impact, and right now I think from a collegiate athletic standpoint, even a high school athletic standpoint, we have to remember that these are 16, 17, 18-year-old kids at the high school level moving towards the collegiate level who are 18 and 22-year-old kids. These are student athletes, and the former is a lot more important than the latter. And from a scholarship standpoint, everybody's talking about the spring sports. Hey, you know, let's give the money. We got to make sure that they're taken care of. I'm all for it. As a former coach, from a Division One assistant softball coach, JUCO baseball coach, former student athlete, wasn't very good, to now an athletic administrator, I can see it from different vantage points. But everybody's talking about, hey, we got to get the money back into the spring sports student athletes, which I love that the NCAA came out and said, we need to make sure we got to make this right. But it's not only impacting the current players that are on these collegiate teams, but like you said, these juniors and seniors in high school that might be coming in saying, hey, I'm a big-time prospect, point guard, shortstop, sprinter, and coach said that I was going to be replacing this senior that's coming back for another year. Am I redshirting? Well, all of a sudden, we're giving them scholarships, and we've got to stay within the parameters that the NCAA gave us. Now, they have relieved some of those bylaws from a compliance standpoint, but down the road, you know, these juniors who are now going to be seniors, they might be looking at a different program and a different scholarship situation than they were if we just moved on, played the season as is.
Again, our guest right now is Casey Smirthwaite, again, Senior Associate Athletic Director with Southern Utah University, as we talk about the current landscape of college athletics. You had mentioned something to me off the cuff that I thought was extremely interesting. It's the guarantee money that schools will receive for just football alone, right? So if you have one guarantee game where you're going to get a payday of anywhere from $400,000 to $500,000, that obviously changes the financial stability of an athletics program. Now, I know not every college football program, even if we're talking D1, D2, not every college football program is locked into a one-game guarantee. We're talking about multiple game guarantees. And again, it's another aspect of the business that isn't being talked about right now. This throws a wrench into everything.
Correct, Jordan. You nailed it right there, that these are not just one-game guarantees. There are schedules. In fact, I got reached out by an institution saying, hey, would you be interested in scheduling something for 2032? 2032, there's a lot that can happen between now and then. And just think about what's happened in the last 6 weeks from a financial standpoint. And I'll have to put a pause on this for a second. every CFO right now in any industry is under the microscope. We are looking and challenging the way we do things. This is really throwing a true curveball off speed, to use a sports analogy there, to readjust and, you know, cut back, be creative. And, you know, Nate Esplin, our CFO at SUU, does an excellent job. Our athletic director, Debbie Quorum, you know, daily conversations about financials. But, you know, putting it in perspective this way, we have a deal with Utah State to play them this year, and that's somewhere, I think it's $325,000, give or take a little bit. You know, we're planning for that in our budget. Now all of a sudden you take that away, we're sitting in, you know, less than $325K than we were planning for. Now, this is kind of our lower end year in terms of guarantees for our football season. So we were already planning on having a lean year, but there's institutions out there that are playing two or three football guarantee games that offset a budget by $1.5 to $2 million, and that's at the FCS level. I mean, I know Utah State in a couple of years is playing Alabama to the tune of $1.4, $1.5 million. From a financial standpoint, institutions are already planning for that money to come in. Now all of a sudden you're throwing an even bigger curveball, because that money helps offset scholarships. It helps offset your women's basketball team, women's softball team, travel. And it goes back sometimes to the institution in terms of scholarship money back to the university. I was talking to a couple of donors. They said if they don't have football, their business is going to take at least a 20% hit, because on game days, their restaurant or their store sees such an uptick in fans coming in, parents coming out of town. The hotel industry had a great conversation with somebody who owns a hotel, saying this is going to be such a financial impact for my business without having sports. So it goes, you can just see the domino effect. It goes beyond what's going to happen on the playing field. And the nice thing is, going back to what I said earlier, student athletes. You know, we've given these opportunities to these, you know, high school and 18 to 22-year-old kids to come in, get an education. And I think that's the part that we're starting to remember. Not that we ever forgot it, but the, you know, education, I think it was Nelson Mandela, you know, education is the most powerful weapon, which, you know, you can change the world. We have given them these scholarships, and we need to make sure that they're graduating and getting that degree, changing their lives for beyond the playing field.
Let's have a simplistic talk here, because right now, and you don't have to answer this question, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Right now, there is talk about college football. This is one of the cash cows when we're talking about college athletics. In your opinion, do you believe we get a college football season?
Jordan, you're throwing some heat right there. I will take that, and I will say, if I was a betting man, you know, hopefully no compliance officers are listening in, can't bet, but I don't think, yeah, we'll keep that between you and I, Jordan. I'll say that we don't have a college football season, or at least kind of truncated season, you know, cut in half, maybe conference only. I will, you know, step back and say, from an FCS standpoint, a lot of the, you know, talk has been, you know, Power 5 level, a little bit of the mid-major group of five. I don't think we have a season, though. I think we're going to get into August, and let's say everything's all a go. You know, fall camp gets going. It just takes one student athlete, not even a student athlete, one athletic trainer, one assistant coach who ends up getting COVID-19 or, you know, what other mutation we get. And, you know, I was looking at the schedule last night for, you know, Alabama. You know, they're week one, they're playing USC. That's a Pac-12 opponent, Alabama, SEC. Let's say an athletic trainer a couple weeks later tests positive for COVID-19. That means USC, who then turns around and plays New Mexico in the Mountain West Conference. There's two conferences, plus Bama, SEC. They turn around and they play Georgia State, the Sun Belt, week two. Then they find out that, you know, this athletic trainer tests positive. You can see the domino effect that's going to happen all across the nation. You saw that, you know, on that Wednesday night when Rudy Gobert tested positive. Within 12 of, you know, 16 hours, everything shut down. It just takes one. I want a college football season. I want to be able to see any type of fall sports, you know, cross country, you know, football, those two very polarizing sports in the sense of, you know, financial gains. It affects everything that we do.
Yeah, and I think one of the other important aspects that we have to think about here is what the current situation right now, here in mid-April, what this has done to the entire fall sports season, such as spring practices for football. We didn't have those, right? So already, for a sport like football that is so physical, right, the physicality is up there. We've seen measures taken to make the game safer. We haven't had any spring practices or team gatherings. That impacts it, at least in some aspect, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and there's compliance bylaws that talk about the acclimation period, where you can only have X amount of practices in shorts, then you can add in pads and so on and so forth. Has this 6 weeks not seemed like the longest 6 weeks of our lives?
Yeah, it has.
I started at SUU coming from Utah State the last week of January, 1st of February. Within 5 weeks, what I do and what I'm going to do here has changed completely. And it has affected. I was talking to our volleyball coach a couple weeks ago, and he just was talking about they're going to have to cut back, 10 matches. Softball, the minimum requirement to have a season is 27 games. And right now, everybody has 50 to 56 games. So that right there in and of itself is just going beyond football. Educationally, online classes, face-to-face interaction, how do you have practice? This goes such beyond, COVID-19 than what we're actually talking about.
Yeah, let me throw another scenario out there for you, and we can revert back to the national sports scene. Yesterday, the big news was Jalen Green. He's going to make the jump, go to the G League. He's a G League prospect now instead of going down the road of the NCAA. With there being so many question marks into the fall and what this means for a student athlete, this shouldn't come to a surprise to anyone, at least in your position. Maybe it was a surprise to us at first in the media or maybe to fans, but for someone in your position, you couldn't have been surprised to see this at all.
No, not at all. And in fact, I'm surprised it's taken this long. It feels like just a couple years ago we were still in the one and done, but we are now in the situation where the NBA has leverage to be able to get these prospective student athletes to make a straight jump. The money, as much as I hate to admit it, we kind of have created our own monster a little bit. There's a lot of talk with name and likeness right now. But student athletes are going to look from a financial standpoint and say, hey, I'm going to go make $500K is what I think Jalen is going to get, going to the G League, versus I'm going to go to a college basketball scene, go to class, hit my grades. And in reality, I know what my next step is. I think we're holding them back. I would like to see the NCAA make a couple of changes, which this is a great time to hit a reset button. Great time to hit the reset button, to really challenge the way we do things and really to grow the industry and help these student athletes get the education that they need. Jalen, he's going to go on. He's going to go be a G League. He's going to go play in the NBA. He's going to go make millions. From a financial standpoint, it makes way too much sense. Save money. He's going to be set up for the rest of our lives, for the rest of his lives. For us, from an institutional FCS level, we want to get our student athletes in here to give them the best experience. I mean, our student athletes at SUU had a 3.25 GPA. We want them to be champions both on and off the field of play. And right now we're facing a $500,000 to $600,000 cut from the NCAA just because we didn't have March Madness. If a student athlete has an opportunity to go pro or move on in this life to go do something that they love, go ahead and go do it. We want to be preparing our student athletes and our students as is for the next step in life. And again, going back to the student athlete, I think if we're giving and fulfilling the educational goals of these students, they should be able to move on. And, again, you can ask anybody from a CFO, from a coach to a student athlete, they're all going to have different opinions on how we operate on this during this crisis. But at the end of the day, are we providing the experience, the education for these student athletes? And again, if there's folks that can move on, regular students that can move on and go get a job, get paid, they ought to do it. I mean, we have some student athletes that are coming back saying, I'm ready to move on. I don't see a lot of students on campuses that aren't student athletes saying, I actually want to come back for another year of college. They're saying, I'm done, I've graduated, I'm going to move on. It comes back to the educational standpoint, and if that fulfills and aligns with somebody with their career goals, let's give them an education. If that does not, they're going to move on, be professional, and we wish them the best of luck.
Casey Smirthwaite, again, Senior Associate Athletic Director with Southern Utah University. Casey, it was definitely fun to get you back on the show. A very interesting topic. Hopefully we can have more conversations about this in the very near future, because it's definitely not going anywhere anytime soon.
No, it's not. And, you know, I thank you so much for this opportunity. You know, Drive Time Sports, you know, Castle Country, great place to be. I love where I am, but there's always fond memories of those folks in Price and in that area. SUU, there's a strong sense of community right now in the world and also in Cedar City, and I'm sure in Price. And I just hope that we can all rally together and we can find a cure and move forward as a community.
Absolutely. Well put. Again, that's Casey Smirthwaite here on Drive Time Sports. We do have to break for a quick moment. When we return, we'll move over to the national sports scene. But we do have plenty more coming up here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Coming up Sunday night, we'll have something entertaining to watch on ESPN. Because I got to tell you, the horse tournament, A for effort, wasn't very entertaining. Did you watch the horse competition?
No. That is terrible TV. That's a terrible thing. It looked crappy. I want no part of it.
It was interesting for a moment, but yeah, you know, like I said, A for effort. Mike Conley won it. Jazz fans are unaware of that. Your guy won the horse competition.
Time to hang a banner.
No, come on. Come on now. Let's talk about a team that did hang banners, the Chicago Bulls. Again, coming up Sunday night, The Last Dance, part one, part two of what's going to be a 10-part documentary. And if you're wondering how this all came together, there's so much that you will see behind the scenes, because Michael Jordan and the Bulls, knowing that it was their last dance, allowed camera crews to really capture, I guess, nuances and aspects of a season that we have never seen before, especially from a team of this caliber. So that's why part of the reason why I'm highly interested in it. I want to see what it was like behind the scenes. That grabs my attention right out of the gate. There's so much footage and there's so much of a story to tell here that we're talking about 10 parts of a series. We get two every Sunday. So part one and two this Sunday, 7 o'clock Mountain Time. Parts 3 and 4, April 26th. Parts 5 and 6 coming up on May 3rd, and so on and so on. You're going to see a lot of cussing in this as well, because ESPN will run the uncensored version of this documentary. And if you don't want to hear all the cussing, and I promise you there's going to be a lot of it, you can flip to ESPN2 and they're going to have the censored version. How much cussing could there possibly be? A lot. Yeah, a lot.
Every other word.
Yeah. Look, you're talking about Michael Jordan, one of the most fierce competitors ever. You're talking about Scottie Pippen. You're talking about Dennis Rodman.
Phil.
You're talking about Phil Jackson. This is going to be highly entertaining. And again, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but I'm going to go back to it. For me, the most interesting aspect is how it portrays Michael Jordan. Because in today's world, with social media, I dare you to get on social media and say something bad about Michael Jordan. I dare you. It doesn't even have to be anything bad about MJ. I dare you to get on there and say he's not the greatest basketball player to ever live. I dare you. You will get eaten alive. And you will get eaten alive by people who never even watched him play. I've said this multiple times on the show. I know kids that are 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. They didn't see MJ play. They tell you he's the greatest basketball player to ever live. Well, why? Because they have been taught to say that Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player to ever live. And MJ was extremely fortunate that he played in an era where media scrutiny, as far as camera phones, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it didn't exist when MJ played. And MJ is extremely fortunate, because I don't think MJ is a bad guy. You disagree with me that you don't think MJ is a good person.
I don't think he's a good person at all. I think he's a scumbag.
I don't. I don't believe that Michael Jordan's a bad guy. Now, apparently, Jordan is worried that this documentary will make him look like a horrible guy.
We already knew he was not a great guy.
Well, he's a jerk on the court. And there's a difference. Everybody has different leadership abilities and different leadership visions. I have to believe that this Bulls squad, one of the greatest dynasties in professional sports history, a lot of their success came from the attitude of Michael Jordan, one of the greatest to ever do it. But you'll see things like MJ punching Steve Kerr. I want to see this.
Got to get that.
He punched Steve Kerr in practice. I know that MJ went after Robert Parrish one particular practice. Robert Parrish stood up to him. Parrish has told this story a million times. I don't think we're going to see that in this documentary. But you may see the time that MJ skipped out on a White House trip. He went golfing with a known drug lord. Okay. This is a documentary to the true sense of the word documentary, which means everyone and everything is going to be on display. And I do believe it'll be humbling in some sense for Michael Jordan fanboys who can't look at anything logically. Of course, MJ did it. He's the greatest. And I have people that tell me, well, MJ would have played professional baseball. No, he wouldn't. Sorry, he wasn't going to play professional baseball.
6-0 is my favorite. That's the only thing they can bring up. Well, he went 6-0 in the finals. So what?
Well, it's impressive.
It's impressive, but what Magic Johnson did getting there 9 times is more impressive.
Well, he went 9 times in 12 years. Kobe went 7 times. LeBron went, what, 8 years in a row? Years in a row?
6-0, it's nice, but it's not
It's great.
It's not the means, you know, of everything to your argument about Michael Jordan.
It's kind of along the same lines. Montana fans do the same thing. They want to tell me that Montana never lost in a Super Bowl. Well, that's great. Tom Brady has gone to more than 4 Super Bowls. Right? No, Jim Kelly went to 4 straight. He just didn't win one. I mean,
it just means Michael lost more times than, what, the first or second round than he did getting to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, look, I think as a society, we have this aura around MJ where people truly believe he can walk on water and do no wrong, and that's just not the case. I think we overlook his style of leadership, and I'm fine with his style of leadership because this guy was so good that he demanded perfection of those that are around him, and maybe he had a different way of portraying that, but it worked. Okay, so I believe that this documentary is going to give us that. I'm going to tell you what I am most interested in, and I love the idea of general managers, right? I love the business side of professional sports. I've been fascinated with that for years. Jerry Krause is such an interesting character in the world of the NBA. So I want you to think about this for a moment. Jerry Krause, and it's well documented, and I'm sure we're going to see this in The Last Dance. Jerry Krause told Phil Jackson, you come back for one season. We didn't know that the Bulls would have a chance for another three-peat. Remember that.
Told him, basically, if you go 82-0, you are still not coming back to this team.
Yeah, he had one more year.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, think about this. This Bulls team at that time had won 5 championships in 7 years. And Jerry Krause was willing to break up this team and start a rebuild. Why? They hadn't lost, right? The 2 years that they didn't win, MJ wasn't around. MJ had retired, and then he had played a half season, right? So, and again, there's the other argument that people will bring up, well, they would have won 6 or 7 or 8 in a row. No, they probably would not have, but that's neither here nor there. This Bulls team had not lost as constructed.
Yeah, Reinsdorf, who owned the White Sox at the time, bought the Bulls, and Krause was the White Sox GM. He came to him and said, I want to be the GM of the Bulls. Well, Reinsdorf,
Scout
called around the league and said, should I hire this guy? Everybody around the league circles told him, do not hire this guy as your GM. He went against and said, well, I'm not hiring this guy to, you know, to be, you know, friendly. I'm hiring him to build a championship team, which he did.
Which
but
he
I
did.
Think towards the end, I think, you know, all the attention went to Michael, Phil, you know, Rodman, Pippen, everybody but Krause. And I think Krause felt, you know, like he built it and no credit was going his way. So he was bitter, you know, towards the end of this thing.
Yeah, which is really interesting to me because if Jerry Krause felt that way, how do you think Scottie Pippen felt? Right? Scottie Pippen's a top 50 greatest player of all time.
They don't win without him.
They don't win without him. Michael Jordan never had any success without Scottie Pippen at any point in time in his career. Scottie Pippen, without Michael Jordan, took the Chicago Bulls to Game 7 against the New York Knicks, who went on to the NBA Finals to lose to the Houston Rockets. Right, Scottie Pippen was dynamic. Scottie Pippen, one of the greatest on-ball defenders I have ever seen. Pippen doesn't get credit. We don't talk about MJ never winning without Pippen. We never talk about that. We talk about the idea of Magic never winning without Kareem. We talk about Shaq never winning without Kobe or Wade. We talk about LeBron never winning without two All-Stars. We never talk about Michael Jordan never winning without Scottie Pippen. So, again, Jerry Krause is a very interesting cat in this whole deal, and I'm really looking forward to that aspect of this documentary. And look, the 1987 draft, that's what solidified this dynasty. Michael Jordan in 84, we always hear about the teams that passed on him. Sam Bowie going to Portland, Hakeem Olajuwon going to the Houston Rockets, teams passing on Michael Jordan. Jerry Krause in 1987 pulled off a trade to acquire Scottie Pippen for Olden Polonies and then drafted Horace Grant. That's the focus of that first three-peat right there.
Just brilliant. Brilliant moves.
It was a fantastic draft, and I hope that gets some run in this Last Dance documentary, because that 87 draft, he knocked it out of the park. And Jerry Krause had plenty of shortcomings, if we're going to talk about his draft history as well. But don't forget, he also, and I think this is where a lot of the discord comes from, and I could be wrong, Michael Jordan loved Charles Oakley. And Krause shipped out Oakley for Bill Cartwright, I believe it was 88, 89, which also set up the first dynasty, the first three-peat for the Bulls. And so I believe there's a power struggle, right? Michael Jordan is that type of personality to where I don't think he wanted to give Krause any credit. And if you watch the preview of The Last Dance, Jordan says he wasn't going to let anyone who doesn't put on a jersey affect the team's mindset. Jerry Krause had made the comment, players, coaches don't win championships, organizations win championships. I see some truth to both sides of the equation here, right? But when you have two massive egos, you can't see a gray area. It's black or it's white. Well, that is fascinating to me, and I can't wait to see that storyline in this documentary.
Yeah, go 97 at the end of the press conference in the championship where Jordan is going off, and they asked him about the breaking up of the team, and he goes, well, we can't break this team up. We should have a chance to defend our title. And he went off on a rant. And then you get the 98 with the training camp, and they're asking him a question, and he looks up at the window where Krause's window is and looks up there and just shakes his head and laughs.
Yeah, there was a lot of turmoil, to say the least. A lot of disgruntled egos with this Bulls squad. And then you look at how it was constructed, the final three-peat. Look how it was constructed. Dennis Rodman was the perfect piece for this team, because this was a guy, he had his own ego away from the basketball court. This guy cares about nothing, right? He was the perfect guy.
Doesn't have to have the Bulls score, doesn't care anything about that.
Nope. He was the perfect guy to mesh with Jordan and Pippen.
Yep.
He was perfect, right? Luke Longley was another guy. He was perfect for this team. Steve Kerr, he was perfect for this team. That Bulls team in 98, and I have to mention this, that team was about 8 or 9 deep. Really, when you look at that roster front to back, they were about 8 or 9 deep. When you start getting down to the Randy Browns, you're equal against most teams as far as 8, 9, 10 are concerned. So this Bulls team is interesting, about 8 deep. I'm curious to see the relationship between Krause, Jordan, and Phil Jackson, because there was a lot of resentment between Krause and Phil Jackson as well. And where does Reinsdorf fit into all this? It's going to be an interesting documentary. It's perfect timing for us. But again, Michael Jordan says he's concerned that this may make him look like a bad guy. I don't believe MJ is a bad guy. You believe in a good conspiracy theory. I don't. I also hope that this documentary dispels the idea that Jordan left the first go-around because of some sort of silent suspension, because I don't believe that happened.
I'm going to be on the fence and say that did happen with the gambling problems in the NBA. I think they sent him away. I think it was their way of saying, here's your punishment. Go, we'll say you're trying out for baseball or whatever the case may be. Come back and run off 3 more.
For me, it's such a serious accusation. It's too serious to just say without having hard proof. Look what it did to Pete Rose. We have hard proof. We have hard proof that Pete Rose did exactly what was predicted that he had done, even after he lied about it. I can't make an accusation against someone like that without having hard evidence. And so I don't believe that happened with MJ, and I hope that this documentary proves it. But I promise you, When you look over the course of dynasties in the history of sports, you will be hard-pressed to find a more entertaining dynasty than this Bulls team, and a lot of it has to do with their alpha male Michael Jordan and his attitude on the court. I'm going to be watching it. You said you weren't extremely interested in it before. After talking with me about it for like 15 minutes, are you interested at all?
Probably going to have to watch now and okay. see how this plays out.
It's going to be interesting. I'm entertained, and it hasn't even started yet. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and put the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports right after this.
Yeah, what's up? This is Middle World Peace, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Close out this week of Drive Time Sports. Travis, last Friday we ended up with a sports movie that we were going to watch. I watched The Replacements last weekend. I love that movie. What are you going to watch this weekend? Sports movie. Besides The Last Dance documentary, what sports movie are you rolling with?
I got to pick a sports movie to watch. I'm going to go Remember the Titans.
Okay. Remember the Titans, a great movie. It's a Disney flick. Not bad. I haven't got to watch 42 yet. It's Jackie Robinson week. Better get 42 played over the weekend. Plus, again, as I mentioned, the baseball action in that movie is completely off the charts. It's the best action you will see in a baseball movie. I think I'll go with 42. And I got to get a copy of A League of Their Own. I got to get that on DVD or Blu-ray. Got to get a copy of it. So those would probably be the two movies I'm going to roll with this weekend.
Not bad. The League of Their Own, I believe, was on TNT or something the other night at like 1 in the morning.
Yeah,
I was
it's
up
not the same when they're
last
on
last weekend, so I kind of watched that, but I'm going to Remember the Titans, and I don't know what other one I'm going to go with. I'll have to sit down and see. Yeah, I'm not sure yet.
I'll go 42 in A League of Their Own. Out of time on this edition of the show. Always a pleasure to be along with you on the afternoon drive. Have a safe weekend. Wash your hands, and we will catch you on Sunday with the best of Drive Time Sports. Back live in the studio on Monday. We are out.